Thank you, music team. Great song selection this morning. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 3. And those ages 4 to 8 may be dismissed for junior church. Forgot to say that. But for the rest of you, Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, as we continue our series through this book, and I want to read to you just the first six verses of chapter 3. It says there, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits. And he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. To the satraps, the administrators, the governors, counselors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all officials of the provinces gathered together for the dedication of the image King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Father in heaven, I do pray, Lord, that you would guide my thoughts this morning as we go through the first half of this chapter. Lord, that you would guide the thoughts and hearts of those hearing this morning as well, for what we find happening here happens in everyday life to many of us. In the form sometimes of persecution, but in the form sometimes of just trials, things that we go through. And I pray, Lord, that as we look at the example of three men who will stand fast in their faith in you, Lord, that we would learn from it. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, what would you do? What would you do as a believer in the only true God? What would you do if you were faced with an option of idolatry or death? Conformity or death? Truth or death? For those of you who have heard this account before, you know that as we progress through it, we learn that Daniel's three companions are part of this group being forced to worship this idol. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They're part of this group. What would you do? Would you pass the test of your faith in God and risk losing everything, even your life? Oxford professor, mathematician, and Christian apologist John Lennox, he imagined it this way. Imagine this scenario this way. He imagined Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going home to their wives and family, telling them, Nebuchadnezzar, he's building this idol. It's huge. He's planning, we know it, we're part of the administration in Babylon. He is planning a dedication for it, and he has summoned all of us state leaders to this dedication. And I know he's going to make us all bow down and worship this idol. And if we don't, we're going to be killed. And I want you to know, wife, I want you to know, children, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Would you pass this test of your faith in God and risk losing everything, even your life? Because it could happen. We are, to use nowadays terms, trending that way in this country. It's happening around the world right now. We're seeing the creation of an environment where people are being mocked, abused, even beaten because of their conservative views. Professors at colleges are being fired, disbarred, and losing their credentials because of their stance in the truth. I don't know how many of you have been following the Jordan Peterson story. Maybe some of you don't even know who he is. Look him up. But here is a tenured professor, a licensed psychologist who has been in a year-long court battle now, and he could lose his credentials because he is simply expressing the truth on social media. Okay? His credentials, everything, his life really is being, his way of life is being threatened because he is speaking the truth. Now that is in Canada, but that is really where we are heading. Would you pass the test of your faith in God and risk losing everything, even your life? Now I want you to know before we get into this, there are two purposes, I think, at play in any kind of testing of our faith, whether it be a trial, whether it be persecution, whatever it is. I think there are at least two purposes at play. Number one, the devil tempts us to destroy our faith. We have, if you have trusted in Christ for salvation, you have an adversary. And we need to understand that the devil will tempt our faith in hopes of destroying it. He would love nothing more than to cause us to fall and destroy not only our faith, but our testimony of trusting God. And sadly, that is the route that many believers are taking. Many are simply going with the flow. However, secondly, God allows testing to grow our faith. All right, Satan tempts us to destroy our faith, but God allows that kind of testing to grow our faith. Will you really trust me in this? He allows it so that if we will trust him in this, we will trust him all the more when it happens again. Amen. And it will happen again. Because that is what the devil does. In fact, the reason this account is recorded is so that we can learn from their experiences and their example. We don't have to go through this perhaps and make that or fight with that choice because we see three here that made it and God delivered them. Okay, we can know from their example. We can have a growing faith because they did. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 33 and 34, in fact, the whole chapter actually exemplifies the faith through men and women that have gone before us and demonstrated it. But 33 and 34 exemplifies faith through the prophets, and I'm reading here, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, and quenched the violence of fire. That Hebrews verse is about these three guys we're going to look at today. That Hebrews verse is about these guys. I love that Ron read that passage because I'm reading it too. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. Peter says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Christ." And in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, it says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you also may be glad with exceeding joy." Those last two verses from 1 Peter are from the Apostle Peter, who knows the pains of denying his Lord, but now also knows the joys of trusting him. Chapter 3 of Daniel gives us both, and we're going to see them both. We're going to see both how our faith is tested and how our faith triumphs. This morning, though, so that we can learn from the experience of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we're going to focus on the ways that our faith might be tested. And I might add, even at a state and political level, because that is where it's happening for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So our subject this morning is how our faith is tested. That's our subject. We're going to look at Daniel 3, verses 1 through 18 this morning, and we're going to find at least eight ways that our faith might be tested. And the very first one is idolatry. Idolatry is a way that our faith may be tested. Now, I'm not going to read these first six verses again, but it tells us about King Nebuchadnezzar building this huge golden statue, an idol. Now, we don't know how much time has passed between the end of chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 3, but most students of the Bible believe it's a minimum of 5 years, perhaps as many as 20 years. So some time has passed for Nebuchadnezzar to forget his spontaneous proclamation of Daniel's God in chapter 2. But remember, okay, that he was the head of gold in the dream that Daniel interpreted. And apparently feeling the pride of his headship now makes this golden statue. It's about 9 feet wide and 90 feet tall. Our barnwood here, that's a little over 9 feet wide and 17 feet tall. So imagine it that wide and 4.5 times taller. It would be visible from the freeway. Okay? It's tempting to worship things that are larger than life, even today, calling them idols. The big screen, the cinemas, caused many to idolize various celebrities. The spotlight itself makes ordinary people seem big. And so today we have believers. You guys on the front row, explain that to the others later on, okay? And Swifties. All right. To the degree that Taylor Swift, that's what a Swiftie is, a follower of Taylor Swift, okay? to the degree that Taylor Swift has over 300 million followers on her social media. And in a recent finding, one of five of those said that they would vote for the political candidate that Taylor Swift endorsed simply because she endorsed them. Okay? Regardless of whether they were contrary to God or not. Okay? And a question is there someone like that for you? Maybe it is Taylor Swift. Maybe it's Justin Bieber. I don't know. But is there someone like that for you that you hang on their every word and go their way, even if it is contrary to what God says? Now, sadly, as far as politics go in this country, I have found myself going the way of policy, because it is very hard to find godly candidates. So I have found myself going the way of policy, but really following any person or anything instead of God is idolatry. Idolatry is a way that our faith can be tested. Another is mandates. Mandates. All of the state leaders were summoned from around the entire empire to the dedication of this idol, and they were commanded to bow down before it. Now, we are not told that Daniel was present, or perhaps he was elsewhere in the kingdom. Perhaps he was with Nebuchadnezzar at a distance, not among those commanded to bow. So we only read about these three. But all the assembly, everybody that was assembled before this idol, they were commanded. Now, for all but three of them, this was probably nothing new. This was a pagan culture that they were living in. So bowing down to one more god was no big deal. But for these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it was a big deal. They were being mandated to do something that was in opposition to what God says. Now, our tests may not always be as clear and direct as this one, but sometimes they are. Sometimes they are. I've known people who have had bosses that commanded them to lie or cheat for the benefit of the company or to appease a customer. Sometimes they're a little more subtle. Jordan Peterson is having his credentials threatened simply because he refuses to use imaginary pronouns and words that are contrary to, well, reality. We may come to a place in this country where we are mandated to use untrue language or adhere to untrue statements, to abide in untrue ideals. We may come to a place in the world where it is illegal to share the gospel. It's happening in other countries right now. It's happened in free empires before. Listen to Acts chapter 5, verses 27 through 29. It says, "And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, 'Did we not strictly command you not to teach in Jesus' name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us.' But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" Our faith may be tested by mandates. Here's a third way our faith might be tested. Music. Music. Listen to verse 5 again. "At that time, you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery. in symphony with all kinds of music. You shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Music is powerful. Music moves us emotionally. That's why movies have a soundtrack. I challenge you to watch the most emotional scene in your favorite movie and then watch it again without sound. It will not move you in the same way. Music is powerful. Music moves us emotionally. Music can move us in the moment to even do things, to think things that we don't want to. This event was a spectacular nationwide event designed to move all of these state leaders in unity with their nation. And I'll tell you, I'll be honest, the Star Spangled Banner has brought me to tears at times. There are some of the songs that we sing here at church that bring me to tears sometimes. But just as music can be used for God's glory, it can be used for Satan's glory and our deception. Point here is beware the music you listen to, because music, even music, can test our faith. Here's the fourth way our faith can be tested. Consequence. Consequence. You either do it or you go to jail. You either do it or you lose your credentials. You either do it or you lose your tax exempt status. You either do it or you die. Hey, since we have this furnace here that we use to smelt all of the gold for the overlay on this statue, let's use it to punish anyone who will not bow down. Whether they thought there might be some or not, what a great motive. Nebuchadnezzar had a bit of a flair for being overly dramatic. So let's just add this consequence that everybody knows. I'm serious about this. Serious consequences for standing for the truth may be a way our faith is tested. Polycarp, I don't know if you know that name, Polycarp was a disciple of the Apostle John at the end of the first century. Into the second century AD, persecution of Christians was reaching extremes. Christians were being killed left and right for their faith. But being an outspoken Christian, Polycarp was to be burned alive, but was offered one last opportunity to renounce his faith in Christ and worship Caesar. And listen to what he said. He said, 86 years I have served Jesus, and he has done me no wrong. How then can I blaspheme my King and Savior? You threaten me with fire that burns for a season and after a while is quenched, but you are ignorant of the fire of everlasting punishment that is prepared for the wicked. And they burned him. They burned him at the stake. Consequence may be a test of your faith. The fifth one is peer pressure. Peer pressure. And with that, look at verse 7 now. Verse 7, it says, so at the time when all the people heard the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, in symphony with all kinds of music, all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Here we are. Let's pretend we're the three people. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. We're here in this ocean of people. Everybody else is doing it. Now, I don't believe this thing is a god, and it's just a meaningless action to bow down. What's the harm? Well, the harm is the people around you seeing you who claim to worship God alone now bowing down to this God. The harm is in me degrading the true and living God to just, well, one of many. Peer pressure can do that to us. We might call it tolerance today. Political correctness. I don't want to offend anybody, so I'm just going to go with the flow to keep the peace. And while we walk on eggshells to not offend anyone, we might offend God. We might offend God. Proverbs 1:10 says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Peer pressure can test our faith. To keep the peace, it's very easy to just go with the flow. Here's the sixth way. Incrimination. I wanted to call this one tattletales. Because really, we must know that when we do stand for God, others will come forward and accuse us as if we are doing something wrong. They will make us feel as if we are criminals for doing or saying what we are saying. Verses 8 through 14 says, "Therefore at that time certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, 'O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, psaltery, and in symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall and worship shall be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And there are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up.' Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, 'Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image I have set up?'" Now again, they will make it sound like we have done something wrong. "Is it really true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to follow this law? Is it really true, River Valley Bible Church, that you think that marriage is only between a man and a woman? Is it really true that you believe that there are specific God-given roles for men and women? Is it really true that you don't think women have the right to abort a baby in their womb? Is it really true that you think all lives matter? Is it really true that you believe Jesus is the only way?" Oh yeah, I do believe that. It is true, but they will make it sound like we have done something wrong. Incrimination can test our faith. Here's the seventh way. Compromise. Compromise. "All right, I'm going to give you one more chance to change your mind before we punish you." One more chance. That's what the Romans did for Polycarp. That is what Nebuchadnezzar did for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In fact, verse 15 says this, "Now if you are ready, at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Now, this does tell us that Nebuchadnezzar had some respect for these three men. After decreeing that anyone who doesn't bow down will be immediately thrown into the furnace, he does give them a second chance. But compromising the truth is a test of our faith and cannot be an option because it's a trick. It's a trick. It is us buying into the deceit. A few years ago, on the Nevada state ballot, they wanted to make a constitutional change in the definition of marriage, and they promised that officiants of weddings would have the right to not do weddings for same-sex marriages if they didn't want to. And they said, if you'll vote for this, you will have the right to stand in your faith. Well, I want you to know, it was a trick. It was a trick because I already have that right. I already had that right. They were just trying to get me to compromise my faith by accepting a definition for marriage that is completely contrary to what God says. So I didn't fall for it. But the majority of Nevada did, and it did pass. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't fall for it. Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter." And I'll stop there. In other words, we've got nothing to think over here. We've got nothing more to say. We will stand where we stand on this issue. But I want you to know the compromise, the offer of compromise can actually be a test of our faith. And here's the eighth and final way faith is tested, or at least in our passage. And we're going to close with this. It's sacrifice. Sacrifice. We might have to be willing to face the consequence of standing in truth, perhaps even offering our life, perhaps leaving our wife, our kids fatherless, or our husband and kids motherless. We may have to give everything. Verses 17 and 18, I'll read them here in a minute, but they are two of my favorite narrative style verses in all of Scripture. I believe that these two verses are the verses, or the statement really, that inducted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the so-called Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. These two verses epitomize faith in God and His will for us. For it states, if you throw us in the furnace, God is able to deliver us. But even if He doesn't, He's still the only one worthy of worship. Here's how they put it. Verses 17 and 18. They said, if that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us from your hand, O King. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." Can I just tell you that this passage gives me chills? To have that kind of faith, to have the kind of faith through persecution, to have that kind of faith when we are mocked and ridiculed and perhaps even punished, to have that kind of faith when we are pressured by the world to renounce or compromise the truth, to have that kind of faith through all of the trials of life, to have that kind of faith when bad things are happening to us or those dearest to us, to have that kind of faith when we could lose everything. Sacrifice can test our faith. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were ready to give up everything. That morning, as they left their homes to go to work, they perhaps knew in the back of my mind, this could be the last time I see my wife and children, because of their willingness to sacrifice for the truth. To have that kind of faith as we plead with God. God, I know you're able. I know you're able. But even if you don't, you are still the only one worthy of worship. And I want the world to know that through me. I want to end this morning by playing a song for you. It's a song by the contemporary Christian band Mercy Me. And it was actually inspired by these last two verses that I just read to you. But I want to play it to you because they wrote this during a time of great adversity and trial for a few members of the band. And while it was not necessarily persecution related, this truth about even if you don't, Lord, you're still my only hope, this truth stands with every single trial that we can go through. I know you can deliver through this trial, but even if you don't, my hope, God, is in you alone. And I pray as you listen to it, the lyrics will be up there too. Just sit back, listen to it. But maybe you're going through something right now. Maybe it is persecution related. Maybe it is a trial. Make it a prayer. Make it a prayer as you listen to these lyrics. Make it a prayer in your own heart. The song is called Even If, and you are dismissed as soon as the song is over. But go ahead and play that.